Climbers, if you're most indie artists, your marketing promotion, if you're doing any at all, is failing on one or more of these five key points. So you're going to want to listen to this one. Welcome to the Climb! This is a show dedicated to helping singers, songwriters, and indie artists like you create leverage in the music business. Leverage is the name of the game, period. It's not about your talent. At first, you're not going to get signed on your talent. You're going to get signed on leverage, on momentum, on a track record of songs, cuts, holds, streams, social media traffic, all of that stuff. It's why we called it the Climb, C-L-I-M-B, creating leverage in the music business. That's a Baxter note from my good friend and co-host, Mr. Brent Baxter. Brent's an award-winning hit songwriter with cuts by Alan Jackson, Randy Travis, Lady A, Joe Nichols, and more. And Brent has a couple Southern Gospel number ones in the last few years and just had a top 10, right? Top 10 or top 20 on Australian radio?
Both. Yes.
Both.
But we'll have to get to top 20 before we got to top 10.
Vulgar display of prowess there. And what I love about Brent is he helps songwriters like you turn pro by revealing how you write like a pro, do business like a pro, and then he introduces you to the pros. You get an opportunity to learn how it works from the pros, sit in on those meetings, and create relationships. And that's where your music's going to do the talking there. So you can find Brent very easily at songwritingpro.com. Once again, that's songwritingpro.com.
Now I want to go look up. I forgot. See where that song is right now. I'll have to look it up later. All right. And I'd like to introduce you. It comes out on yesterday, and I forgot to check. Anyway. And I'd like to introduce you to my co-host, Johnny Dwinell. Johnny owns Daredevil Production. They're breaking artists digitally by identifying new fans through data. If you're an artist looking to increase your streams, blow up your video views, sell more live show tickets, and get discovered by new fans, TV, and music industry pros, then Daredevil Production can help. Daredevil has worked with multi-platinum artists like Colin Ray, Tracy Lawrence, Ty Herndon, and Andy Griggs, just to name a few. You can find Johnny at daredevilproduction.com. That is production singular, no S, and there's no S because there is no other Johnny. D.
How you living?
Oh, living large. But that's how I live between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Actually, between Halloween candy and Christmas, I live large and getting larger. Sweatpants season. Anyway.
Right?
Oh, boy.
You're like Joey from Friends with the pregnant pants. So you
I'm
got
just giving up. But I'm good. I'm good. Right, you doing well?
Doing good, man. We are friggin' busy, dude. Busy. Yeah. Like, I've been having 18-hour days, like getting content out, and we got a couple artist launches coming up, and I'm producing a record again for Mackenzie O'Brien in January. We're getting geared up for that.
I'm excited about that.
You're more than likely going to have a cut or two on, which is exciting.
Yes.
So yeah, dude, lots going on, man. You know, our corporate clients have really just started to see the light. It's so fun to see when with digital marketing when they trust you, and then you move the needle. And of course, the knee-jerk reaction is, wow, this is working. I like this.
Yes.
That's good. That's been happening. But what's been happening recently is they're starting to get it. You know what I mean? Starting to get like the multi-dimensionality of it, like where they're like, hey, can I look at those ad results? Like, I can't. How do we get there? Hey, let's get on a Zoom call. I'll show you how. Oh, wow. So, Johnny, these people right here that watched that ad 100% of the way through, do you think that's our audience? Oh, yeah. Like, they're not going to watch a 90-second ad all the way through unless they're really interested in it.
Yeah.
Johnny, do we know who they are? No. I mean, I don't know that it's, you know, Brent Baxter from this address, but that's an actual account, and I can specifically retarget these people, and we can do that with a different message, can't we? Precisely. Yes. Now you're starting to get, oh, okay, hold on. And then I get an email, like not an email, like friggin' 25 emails of like, here's content, this is what we need to do, let's book these shoots. Like all of a sudden it's on like Donkey Kong, you know what
nice.
I mean? And there it's just so cool to when somebody gets their head around it and it just becomes this creative sandbox of oh, I think I understand how digital works now.
Yeah.
And once you get that, then all of a sudden, guess what? It's still just promotion. It's still just marketing. It's still all the fun creative stuff you like to do at a radio station or radio tour, but you're going to do it in a different manner, and it's just as much fun, less expensive, and totally doable. So
there we go.
There you have it.
Love it.
All right. So today we're going to talk about the five common fails of most artist marketing.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. So pay attention to this one and keep your tires out of the mud. That's all I'm saying. But,
that's right.
But first, let's take care of some business. Join the Climb community if you haven't done so already. You go to facebook.com/groups/the Climb community. Super easy. Ask to be let in. You have to ask to be let in, but we let everybody in. We even give you a welcome message, or at least we try to do it all the time. Sometimes I think we fail on that, but we try to do that all the time. And come on in. This is thriving community, man. Every single day, people are posting stuff. We want to hear about your gigs. There's a post to put the comment on for your gigs every single week. We want to hear about your wins. There's a post to comment on that every single week. We want to hear about new music. There's a place for you to comment to where you can post your new music in a comment section. And then there's the main feed, which unless you're doing something for everybody, stay out of. Enjoy it. Consume it. But if you got something that's everybody's just going to enjoy, that's going to blow their mind, something cool, something funny, something related to indie artists, singers, songwriters, all that stuff, then by all means, please post it in there. We'd love to share that. But we got some wins today?
We sure do. Every Wednesday, we post our New Heights post, which is where we encourage you and invite you to share your music-related wins with us so that we can celebrate with you. And we know where the party be because it's here at New Heights. So you just look for the mountains in New Heights. So let's see here. Well, one, mine, I got a cut on a strong indie artist yesterday, so I can't wait to hear it. I heard a little bit from some video in the studio, but it was an artist co-write, so I'm excited about that one. Excited about this artist feature. So that was fun. Let's see here. Brad Hacker says, a song I wrote with Aaron Rose, Steve Lombardo, and Michael McFarlane called Living the Dream is under consideration for pitch to some major artists through Song Placement Pros, our buddy Ray Hamilton over there. We're stoked as this song has some action in several areas, including NSAI Publisher Luncheon, previous win posted. And I think the four of us may ride again. Yeehaw. So
awesome.
That's awesome, Brad. And of course, you know, he's getting Steve and other folks posting underneath, like congratulations, attaboys, all that good stuff. And so that's what we like to see there. And we have some others, of course, but we may save those for the next episode. But always good wins in the Climb community. So we love when you share them out with us.
Oh, okay. So I got a quick one I'm going to share with you. And yeah. I'm going to put, I'm so bad about putting it in there. Like, because I'm just, when I'm in the Climb community, I'm posting stuff and I need to post in the wins section. But so dig this. So here's a little venture I'm trying, a little uncomfortable for me. I've never done it before. I'm not sure if it's going to work, so I've got a couple things I'm planning, but I just want you to follow through on this, right? Like, so you know my thought process. So Josh Roy got a song called Angels Cry. We have recorded it. We've got the mix back. It's a patriotic song. It's amazing. With patriotic songs, it's super, super easy to go to cheese land.
Yes.
Right? Or to pander. So the song has to be written correctly first, and we've got a song that's, so Terry Jo Box, for one, was made this comment when she was down there writing and she heard the song. She's like, on paper, there's a lot of things wrong with this song. But then Josh sells it like live, and she saw him live. And there's like veterans that just fall apart, start getting super emotional and everything. And she's like, but then look, I mean, it's just, this is one of those things where it just works. So the song works itself as a written blueprint, right? The song works. And when we produced it, Zach and I were like, we have to be very careful not to screw up the production. We can't do piano driven. We can't do acoustic driven. It's just going to be cheesy. We're very clear on that. And so I've told this story before. You had Rob McNally in there, and we just had this certain vibe that we liked from one of the other tracks that he did with Luke Bryan that was great. So we're like, that's the kind of vibe we want. So he laid that down. So we get the mixes back, and the second verse, it's specific to like a spiritual thing, like talking to a preacher and the preacher's telling them, hey, there's a place for them in heaven. And like, it's just this cool part of the song. And we've got this big chorus. And I'm like, you know what? Like, structure on this is weird. Like, the second chorus is the big, huge climax of the whole song.
Okay.
Right. And then after the second chorus, it completely breaks down and it goes out. Right. So it's a little unusual on the way that we produced it, and which makes it interesting. But I want to do a gospel choir just in the second verse and the second chorus. And so I called in Lala Deaton, who's a friend of mine, who's just a killer vocal arranger and everything. And I said, I want to do this. I want you to listen to it. Do you think I'm crazy? You know, she's like, no, I think this would take the song from great to like epic.
Yeah.
It's that kind of vibe to it. And so I said, okay, so I'm shooting her a little bit of money because guess what? I don't know how to do this on the vocal arranging for a choir, yeah. like especially specifically like a gospel choir, which is going to have a different arrangement maybe than a different kind of vocal choir.
Yeah.
And so I said, but I had some ideas, right, on like what should happen and where it should happen. And so we had a little pre-production meeting. She had some ideas. I loved her ideas. She loved mine. We combined them. I'm like, yes. So she's going to go and just sort of stack up, create the arrangement and then stack it up on her home studio, just so we can hear, because she's a machine in the studio, just so we can hear like what it would sound like to make a final decision on,
yeah,
is this going to make it cheesy or is it going to make it cool, right?
Yeah.
And maybe we make a couple changes to the arrangement before we do it. Then she's going to transcribe everything and we're going to go find a freaking gospel choir to sing it. But I'm not going to pull the trigger on that expense and all that extra effort before, like, I kind of know it's going to work, but we're playing in the sandbox. So, fingers crossed, dice are tumbling. This will happen probably in early January.
Yeah.
But man, I'm super stoked about it. This will be like one of the coolest things I've ever done. And
that's great.
So it's not a win yet. This is just an idea. I'm throwing it out there and you guys can live through the triumph or the tragedy with me, depending. But either way, it's not going to be a tragedy because if it doesn't work, we just won't put it on the song. But anyway, all right. So shout out to the wins. Make sure that you follow the podcast or subscribe, whatever podcast or platform you're on. And most importantly, tell a friend about it, y'all.
That's right.
Like, you spend this kind of time with us. You listen to all this crap that we talk about. Hmm. It means something to you. Make sure you're there for a reason. Tell somebody else. So help us help you help them, right?
That's right.
That's the deal. So let's get into this. Okay.
Yes.
Five common fails of most artist marketing. Number one, lack of strategy.
Mm.
Right.
That makes sense.
Strategy equals your overall approach to achieve your main objective. So you have to ask what your main objective is. I think that a lot of people get skewed on this. Brent, we've talked about this before on the show, where maybe they're a hobbyist, right? Which is fine. This is like a little side gig for them. This is create a bitch. They like to scratch, but their strategy is not to be a professional.
Yeah.
So that's going to have a different, or their, excuse me, their objective is not to be a professional. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a different strategy.
Yeah.
Than if your strategy or if your objective is, hey, I would like to make a living at this.
Yeah.
I think I can do this, right? And knowing that you can do this, I'm not speaking solely about talent, speaking about your life. You know what I mean? Like, it's a different kind of soul to be an artist.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of great songwriters, singers out there, and especially here in Nashville, who could be amazing artists, but they're not. Why? Because they just don't want to be an artist.
Yeah. And nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah. They're home every day at 6 o'clock with the kids, and that's the life that they have and the life that they love, and and they wouldn't do it any other way. It's their choice, but they could.
And that's a win.
You and I, Brent, both know a bunch of people where the labels are like, please, please be an artist.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah, I'm gonna stay home, write some hit songs for you. Thank you.
Yep.
But what is the objective? Define that objective, and then you have to put a strategy together. And so if your main objective is a steady stream of profit in your artist business and a steady trend of fan-based growth, now we have an objective that's clear. We need a strategy. Okay, how are we going to do that? Mm-hmm. Then your tactics are the methods that you're going to use to accomplish your strategy. Strategy is the blueprint. Tactics are how you're going to do it, right? So the blueprint on a house, you know what it looks like. The tactics are, now we're going to frame the door. Now we're going to lay the foundation. Now we're going to call in these people because they know how to pour concrete and I don't.
Yeah.
But I can frame a house and I can build a house. And these people can do windows and blah, 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 right? Yeah.
Or another analogy, my objective is to get to Nashville. Okay, well, my strategy is I'm going to hop on I-40 in Little Rock. And I'm going to take I-40 all the way into West Nashville and follow that till Donut until I'm on Music Row. Well, my tactic is, well, I'm going to gas up the truck. I'm going to get in the truck and I'm going to take the truck, right?
Put your foot in the gas, right?
And drive the strategy,
obey all traffic laws,
the map route to my objective. So, yeah.
That's right. So thinking your project is done after you've mastered your tracks on your project here officially puts you in the no promotion strategy and no promotion tactics pile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if your objective is to be a professional, is to make a living at this, is to make an impact, is to get more people to hear your music, then brothers, sisters, you're going to need a strategy and you're going to need tactics for promotion. 95% of the work, the effort, the creative energy, and the money on your project comes after you've got your master's.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Number two, lack of focus.
Sorry, what was that? I'm just kidding.
Lack of focus, precisely. I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. What?
What? Yet?
Spray and pray. This is like playing the lottery. This is not focused. This is obnoxious on digital. It's expensive on broadcast platforms, man.
Oh, very. Yeah. Well, it's like saying, okay, I want to go to Nashville and I'm just going to start driving.
Yeah.
And gas is not cheap. And I'm just going to drive and I'm going to take this turn. That felt good. Ooh, what's down that road? That's pretty. Oh, look, I'm going to aim toward
the
sunset.
You know, if you keep driving around Nashville,
if you're aiming toward the sunset,
down Music Row, you're bound to be at a stoplight next to somebody famous or some producer or publisher that could help you.
Yeah, there's a lot of activity, but if you're aiming at the sunset because it's pretty, but you started off west of Nashville to begin with, you're only getting further away.
That's right. There you go. I like that. Yeah. So focus your promotion efforts on targeting people who like your kind of music, right?
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what your objective is, right? If your objective is to get a bigger live draw, mm-hmm. right? So be big in your hometown first.
Mm-hmm.
For the love of God, if you can't be big there, how are you going to be big in Nashville or New York or LA or anywhere else?
Yeah.
Right? Like if you can't get enough people in your home, if you can't sell out your hometown, then start there. That's the least expensive way to do it with the best sort of built-in audience.
Yeah.
Focus your promotion efforts on consistently retargeting your current fan base, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because your current fan base, you are not behaving in the way that terrestrial radio does with rotational format programming by posting organic content on social media. That's important. Organic content is important, but it's a storefront. That's what they see when they go there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but 99% of them don't know that you posted it. That stuff doesn't show up in their feed.
Right.
So you need to retarget them. You need to reach them. You need to spend some time, effort, and some money to make sure that everybody knows about all your releases. You were going to say, Brent?
Oh, I was going to say that the easiest person to sell to is a person that's bought from you before, if your product's good, right?
Yeah.
And so don't forget about the people that already know who you are and have already raised their hand.
Yeah, focus.
And it's easier to move the people. It's like the sales funnel. You get a bunch of people in the top and a few people that buy come out the bottom. Well, there are people in the middle of that funnel there. If you can work on getting more of those people from the middle of the funnel out the bottom where the money is, you know, that's a good use of resources usually, instead of just trying to get other new people randomly.
Yeah. And how about just reinvigorating them in the funnel? Mm-hmm. Like you have the people, your current fan base, or let's not even call it a fan base. Let's call it a current group of people who have interacted with your content, your mm-hmm. page on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok at some point.
Yeah.
Right. So they've seen you at least once.
Mm-hmm.
That's better than the cold audience who's never seen you at all. Right. But if you're not focused on them, then you're going to lose them. They need constant. You need to touch them constantly, right? They
I
need
got
to
jokes,
be aware that you're constantly putting new stuff up.
It's the escalator. It's the top of mind escalator. When you interact with somebody, an artist, maybe as an artist, you interact with the fan, you're at the top of the escalator. They're on the second floor. They're standing there at the top of the escalator, not on the escalator. They're on the second floor. You're on the top of the escalator. Thing is, the escalator is going down constantly. And so you're like, hey, I'm here. I popped up. And then if you do nothing, it just takes you all the way back down. And then they forget about you.
Like if you're not constantly moving, trying to walk up the escalator that's moving down,
mm-hmm.
you get farther. And that's a really good analogy. You get farther and farther away from that person.
And they forget
that
about
you already won over at one point in time.
Right. And so you got to do something to run back up to the top. Be like, hey, remember me? And then you go back down. And what do you do to stay top of mind, or at least to get there consistently?
Yeah. And you know, not for nothing, but on that analogy, like even if you're a superstar, 40 million selling superstar artist, okay, if you're not like, we have a category of artists called legacy artists or mm-hmm. heritage artists. I hate the word heritage. That just sounds, I don't know why I think that sounds cheesy and legacy sounds cooler, but it's all the same stuff, whether it's hair bands, whether it's country bands, whatever. They're still out there playing because they have a brand name, depending on how big that brand name was, right? But they're not.
They have
the
a
radio
brand name
anymore.
And bills.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
They have a brand name and bills,
yeah.
So they're out playing.
They're all playing, but they're not on the radio anymore. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people that don't know they've released music because they just aren't aware.
Yeah.
Because radio was the only promotion tool, and now they're not on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a situation where maybe that artist at one point could play arenas, and now that artist is filling up 500 seaters more than 50% of the way through. They've downsized their business. That's all fine and good, but it could be bigger if they stayed in touch with their fans, if they focused on constantly retargeting their current fan base. Now, to the legacy artists, to their defense, that wasn't something that they could do back in the 80s, in the 90s, or the 2000s, okay? Now they can, right? And you can.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't need to be on the radio. You don't need to... I mean, listen, Garth Brooks doesn't have any problems. You know what I mean? Like, as far as being popular, as far as being the GOAT, as far as filling out arenas still, even though he's not on the radio anymore.
Yeah.
But make no mistake, in just a few short years ago, he was one of the key sort of performers at CRS. And that's where all the radio programmers are together. And he's basically pandering to them. I'm not knocking him down.
Yeah.
He's trying to do good business. But you know what he wanted to be? Back on the radio.
Yeah.
Now, again, he's still filling out arenas and all that, but he wants to get his music on the radio. But you know what? You don't have to do that because you're not going to break on the radio. And so you're in more control of it. So focus on that.
Yeah.
Put your music up on Spotify and see what happens. Put it up on iTunes and see what happens. This is not focus. This is a strategy based on hope.
Right.
And focus at just having a real plan, even for organic Spotify growth, that's based on effort and tactics. Listen to episode 200 of The Climb to get an awesome plan for this.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 200. This is focus. And keep in mind that Spotify is a platform that you get on the right playlist. You can make some money. God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
But the discoverability factor on Spotify is shite.
Yeah.
So you just understand that. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying don't use it. By all means, it's part of every single strategy I have for every single artist with every single kind of budget. But I understand what it is and what it isn't, right? Yeah.
It's that thing we've said on here before. Distribution is not marketing. Just because it's out there in the world doesn't mean anyone knows about it.
That's right. That's right. Number three is lack of metrics.
Mm.
Right? How many new fans did you get this week, this month, this year?
I don't know.
How many new super fans did you get? Super fan being defined as somebody's going to spend $100 a year on you.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best time to send emails? Do you have emails?
Yeah.
What's the best time to make your social media posts? What's interesting about social media posts is Facebook and Instagram now are actually telling you, here's the best time to post today. If you go into your Meta account, right, which is if you go on your Facebook and you look at your feed and you go to the left, it says Meta Business Suite.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into that, you will see that you can post on your music page and on your Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll tell you, like, if you want to schedule them, what's the best time?
Huh.
Because it's already doing that for you. How many of you don't know that?
Yeah.
Like, they've made it so freaking easy for you to do that. And are you honoring that? So metrics count, right? It's measurement. If you can measure it, you can manage it. You need to know about your business, right?
Yes, you do.
Number four, lack of process. You're reinventing the wheel every time you do something.
Mm-hmm.
And if it works, you should create a procedure to repeat it so that anyone can execute the procedure. But by anyone, I mean, most importantly, you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you stumble across something that creatively that you tried in promotion and it worked. Well, by golly, do that again.
It reminds me of a Far Side. I love the Far Side. Gary Larson, brilliant.
Yeah.
Probably says a lot about me. But anyway, there's these Neanderthals, and they're just like spear, loincloth, all these guys. And there's a mastodon, and he's on his back, dead, with one little arrow sticking out of his belly. One little arrow, this huge mastodon, one little arrow, and these Neanderthals look at each other and go, maybe we should write that spot down.
Right?
Learn from success, my friends. Stay thirsty.
Yeah, that's it. Listen, until you've done 20 friggin' releases the same way correctly that have moved the needle, then I promise you, you don't wing it. You can't wing it.
Mm-hmm.
you don't have that muscle memory. You can't, you're going to forget something. And we've talked about, I think that's, you know, the process is the big part of the getting from uploading your song to marketing your song, right? Like if you're not working backwards, like here's the date I want to release it, and you work backwards from that, then you're going to screw it up, right? You're not aware of what the timeline is. You're not aware of, oh, it's 2 months out, but I've only got four more days to get this piece of the puzzle done, right?
Well, let's put it this way. If a pilot, professional airline pilot, a person with a professional, highly trained, with 20 years of experience, getting from New York to LA or whatever, they have a checklist they go through, every pre-flight checklist. They've done this how many times? They always go through the checklist.
Yep.
And they have 20 years of experience. Why aren't you doing
this really
complicated
thing?
And because you don't want your career to crash into a mountain. And so, Johnny, this makes me think, this would be, just to throw this out here, you should make like a PDF download, like a checklist as you're going through this stuff with Josh Roy or some of these people that you're working with. And I know you're hitting some of the headaches of all this stuff. I'm sure you're making notes. It's like, as I'm making these notes, I should share these notes.
Well, I tell you what, like, so
weaponize
that
sucker.
Well, so you bring that up. So just quick side note here. Yeah, for Sydney Sherrill and for Josh Roy, it's time to start uploading stuff to the aggregate distributor. Mm-hmm. We're going to start dropping music next year. It needs to have 8 weeks to be up there so that we can get the promo together. We've already been sort of, we're knee deep like in the promo, but we need to be up to our armpits in the promo very shortly in preparing all that and getting ready to drop it, schedule it, and put everything out there. But we have to set up their accounts, right, correctly. Like Sydney's released stuff before, but like every indie artist, and because this is done by design, people, I'm just like looking at the amount of money that a stream creates, each stream creates on a digital service provider, on Spotify, on Apple, on Amazon, or whatever. And that goes into that digital service provider, and they split it up no matter what, right? And so what I'm going to do is, like, if you don't have a Harry Fox agency account, if you don't have a MCL or MLC account, excuse me, if you're not dialed in with the Canadian PRO, which is different than all the other PROs who work together, right? And you don't have a Sound Exchange account, then you have, you're part of the $500 million, just at Spotify, the $500 million uncollected funds account, because that money's already been split up and it can't go to you, even though your traffic generated that revenue. It can't go to you without doing it. It's like, Brent, you and I were talking about this yesterday at a PRO, right? When the PRO gets the money, it automatically splits up the publisher share and the writer share.
Yeah.
So if you're an indie artist and you don't have a publishing deal, which means you own 100% of the publishing, they don't give you 100% of the money unless you have a publishing company registered at your PRO.
Right, which is not difficult.
No.
But if you don't do it, the money has nowhere to go.
There you go. So that whole thing being like, it's split up like four or five different ways, for crying out loud. And if it's not, if all that, so I'm going to put together a new challenge for that in 2023 and say, hey, let's get you set up to make sure that every single piece of music that you release from here on out, that you're collecting all that money and not for nothing. I think we're hopeful that with the MLC that people set that up, all of a sudden they're going to get some windfalls.
Yeah.
Right. And if it's a little bit of traffic, maybe it's 20, 30, 40 bucks. You're like that you weren't going to get because you didn't do all that work. And now we're going to show you how to do it on the challenge. But if you're generating a boatload of traffic, it might be a few thousand.
Yeah.
Which is, goodness gracious. And just for playing the home game the right way.
Yeah.
There's two music businesses, people, one for the informed and one for the uninformed. And for the most part, both are legal, right? But so anyway, under lack of process too, I mean, I just bring you back to McDonald's. Who runs McDonald's? Kids run McDonald's. Why? Because they have systems. So systems are necessary for you to expand and to be able to delegate and have other people help you. We talked about that on a previous episode recently, but also for you, because you don't have the muscle memory. It's a checklist. Okay. It's a playbook, right? Like, I got to do this now. Then I got to do this. 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 And I want to make sure that there's some kind of consistency to the way I release my music, or I'm going to have inconsistent results. And if I'm not being consistent with every single release, when something fails or underperforms, I can't fix it, because I don't know what the hell I did and what I didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
So some of your releases have videos, some don't. Some of your releases have micro content. Most of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because you guys aren't really bought into the micro content thing.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know this? I see your feeds. I see what artists are doing. Nobody's doing this.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So what is your playbook after you master your project? Create a process, right?
Mm-hmm.
Finally, the fifth one.
Home stretch.
I was going to say something, but I'm going to jinx it if I say it. You know what I was going to say.
Well, don't jinx it.
Number five.
Yes, don't say it.
Lack of innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of innovation. Hopefully, as an artist, you're consistently innovating your art.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, Brent, I feel like all artists think they're innovating artistically, even mm-hmm. though very few really are.
Yeah.
Most are derivative, right? Even of mm-hmm. themselves. But delusional or not, it's a common artist goal mm-hmm. to either want to be or to believe you are artistically innovating your art.
Yeah.
Innovation on songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I was listening to that podcast you sent me, Brent, with Brett Warren and Jeffrey Steele. And
yeah.
He's one of the first songwriters to create that rapid fire lyric feel that essentially ushered in that manifested itself in the form of Bro Country.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't like Jeffrey Steele for that, right? Most fans aren't aware that he did that.
No.
But love it or hate it, he was an innovator. Huge part of his success.
Yeah.
Because he did not chase the radio on that. He just did something different.
Mm-hmm. Well, they tell the story, I think, of, or I heard it somewhere else, of that song Chrome by Trey mm-hmm. Atkins was a single for Trace. He's like, I played it for everybody. And they're like, because it's really kind of talky in the mm-hmm. verses. And people are like, no, our singers prefer to sing. They're not going to want to talk.
We want our country artists to sing. Thank you very much.
Yeah, they artists, singers tend to want to sing. And so, no, take this talky song and walk you away. But he's like, I just thought it was really cool. Or he'd play it out and get good, and he just believed in it.
Yep.
Something different. Anyway.
Yeah, ahead. Something different. And how about innovation on sonics and sounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Skip Black was the first producer really in country to introduce emo guitar sounds on Kaylee Shore's indie alt record Storybook.
Mm-hmm.
And that record didn't do that well, sadly. I think it's an amazing effort. And mm-hmm. now everybody in the industry heard it, and they're putting emo guitars on their sounds these days in pop country.
Yeah.
He's an innovator.
Mm-hmm.
He's not working over at Demolition as a published songwriter by accident or because he knows somebody. Like, he's
right.
He's a creative. So what about your marketing and promotion? What would happen if you focused on innovating your promotion as well as your art?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, these are some of my favorite episodes of The Climb, Brent, when you and I are cooking up. And by the way, okay, a possible win for us. Do you remember when we were talking about, like, how much we missed on radio when we had band shout-outs? This is Bon Jovi, and we're on 98 Rock, right?
Yeah,
and and you just got to know, like, when they did a little interview or something, mm-hmm. or a little blurb, even with a little blurb like that was 5 seconds, you just got a feel for the personality. You heard mm-hmm. their voice. It's more tactile than just the song, and how cool that was and how important that was. And mm-hmm. and you, Brent, I think you're like, well, we should do that like in a friggin' Spotify stream, right? Because we're talking about pattern interrupts, number one, on a playlist. I mean, so you have just one song, next song, next song, next song. Mm-hmm. What if somebody, you'd have to make the master
include that
with the blurb,
right?
Which is a little like, that's different. I don't know if we can do that, right? Yeah. And but what if you're like a quick little 5 second thing with the artist saying something, you know, super, but imagine listening to that in the context of a playlist, and you're like, whoa, what the hell is this? This is Johnny D, and you're going to listen to blah, 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 blah. And then pow, you go into the song. And I'm just like, wow, like all of a sudden I'm prepared to love this.
Yeah.
And it delivers. I know who it is
mm-hmm.
because I'm not looking at my phone while the playlist is going to read who the bands are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just listening to the music.
Yeah.
Right now you made me want to go look at your phone,
mm-hmm.
look at the phone and see who it is. What a great idea. So that idea, Brent, was I brought that to Blue Foley, who's trying to grow this Nashville Nights thing. And I'm like, what if you had a playlist that was nothing but hit songwriters
mm-hmm.
singing their versions of the hits that you know
mm-hmm.
with that? And so it's a recording, maybe it's just an acoustic vocal of them singing that. But before that is them telling the story.
Yeah.
On a playlist.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if anybody's doing that. You know what I mean?
They've done some of that. I've seen some, like, it would be like a Spotify playlist. You might have the story behind the song, that sort of thing. You may have some of that, but it's not greatly, it's not normal. It's not the normal thing.
Right. Well, but anyway, I mean, so it's just like innovation in the marketing, right? Like innovation in the micro content. Like once you understand the platform and how it's consumed on digital, your creative brain will serve you well.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll begin to think up, well, what if we tried this? What if we tried that? Oh, this worked. Let's do that some more. And you continue to innovate down that. And then lo and behold, you have created a little pipeline for yourself that works. Mm-hmm. You've stood out in the traffic.
So here's a fun thing. I remember hearing about this from some business book. Okay, yeah, you do your own shout out, but what if you use like a celebrity, like a B-level, C-level, whatever you can afford, celebrity to intro your song, right? Like with Cameo. You know about Cameo?
Yeah.
There's Cameo for business. And unlock the power of celebrity for high-performance creative solutions. I'm just on their website. I'm not endorsing them. I've never used them, but I'm just brainstorming here, right?
Right.
That's where you can get celebrities or whatever to endorse something. And so talent selection, execution, that sort of stuff. Wouldn't that be funny if your song is appropriate for some celebrities, appropriate for your kind of brand and your people would think that's cool? What if they're the one on the Spotify place? Hey, I'm so-and-so and you're listening to the new single by da-da-da on Spotify. And that's your Spotify specific thing. You're like, huh? Like, why is Mike Tyson? Hi, I'm Mike Tyson, and you're listening to the brand new single by. Why?
Innovation. Try it. Like, what's the worst that can happen? Like, if everybody absolutely hates it, and so much that it makes its way up to music journalists,
They hate,
and they're writing about this new trend. Like, I don't know. This is crap. This is stupid. Mm-hmm. This is like, let me tell you something. You are going to get a boatload of attention to your song.
Yeah,
and if that song is good, they're going to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a gimmick. It's not a gimmick. It's you're just trying to figure out different ways to rise above the din of the noise. And that's innovation. So, you know, that's essentially it, guys. I mean, if you take some deep think time and create a marketing and promotion system and execute said marketing and promotion system, even if it's flawed, and let me save you the suspense, it will be flawed.
That's right.
You'll see a dramatic increase in your fan base and in your cash flow because your music will actually be heard.
Mm-hmm.
The quality of your song is not in any way, shape, or form directly related to who's going to hear it.
Right.
It's related to who's going to like it after they hear it. But I think you're putting way too much weight on the fact that it's just this amazing song. And as long as it's good, then people are going to hear it. No, if it's good, people are going to like it.
Yeah.
When they hear it. Or not everybody either, right? Like,
right.
But more people that hear it are going to like it after they hear it. But that's why I'm saying, like, when your project's done, you are just getting started because now you have to get people to hear it. And they can't hear it just once.
Mm-hmm.
They can't see you just once. And that's never the way it worked. Never. It never worked that way in radio.
Yeah.
Why would you expect it to work that way on digital? That's what's so fascinating. And even the industry, like, don't follow the industry on this, for crying out loud. Like, I've literally had conversations with, I can't tell you how many, like, huge producers, like, label heads, like, upper industry people who are like, now, if we spend $5,000 on digital, when do I get that back?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, you're going to spend $30,000 to $50,000 a month on radio promo and not even talk about that.
Yeah.
Until 6 to 9 months from now, when you already know it didn't work the last time, but you're going to do it again because that's what you do. And you're busting, you're hung up on $5,000. Like, no, it's $5,000 of digital marketing is not going to beat $1 million with the radio spins.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. So innovate.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out what works. You can be, man, you can be small. You can dominate your own hometown. You can dominate a region and create some cash flow, and you just don't need anybody's permission. That's my wish for you. That's my holiday wish for all y'all. There you go.
Merry Christmas.
All right, guys. That brings us to the end of the Killer Climb episode. Download the free PDF. Whoever owns the traffic rules the road. This is a stout PDF. I think it's like 37 pages or something, but it's an easy read. It's not all words, man. I put a lot of pictures in there for you guys. So make it easy, right? I'm not talking down to you. I'm just saying it feels like you're three pages in, but you've really read like a paragraph of stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you're consuming it better. There's a reason I did that. It just makes you consume it more. But go to giftfromjohnny.com, J-O-H-N-N-Y.com. Giftfromjohnny.com. Tell me where to send it. It's all yours. It's absolutely free. This podcast exists because we want you to win. So keep on climbing.
And we'll see you at the top.